Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
God is good, and we thank him for blessing us to be here another day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, in it. We want to welcome you to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ Sunday morning worship service. Wherever you are, you're in the city of Houston, you're in another city, another state, another country, wherever you are, welcome, welcome, welcome. We know some of you are on, some of us are on different time zones, and some of you actually got up a little bit earlier. Some, well, I guess it's not early in your time, but it's early in our time, or later in our time, and we want to thank you, thank you. Thank the brothers for leading us in our prayers, our scripture reading, and welcoming you. Thank you, our IT ministry. Welcome to our Facebook, YouTube, conference call, and live stream worshipers this morning. Those of you that are members of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, and those of you that are guests. We have a lot of guests. When I say guests, some of our families invite friends and family to be on, and we're so thankful for that. Thankfully, you have enough confidence to invite someone. We are, the scripture says, we are the light of the world. And we're trying to, God is always recruiting. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And we like you to know that. God is good. We started a lesson series a few weeks ago entitled The Essentials Series. The Essentials. The word essential meaning absolutely necessary. Very important. So this is, these lessons, hopefully, we won't miss. And I'm Gary Smith. I'm the minister here. And normally, around the beginning of each year, I try to deliver fundamental, foundational lessons that help us as Christians remember who we are, remember whose we are, and remember why we are here. You know, sometimes we come together and we forget why we come together. Amen. Sometimes, you know, we get so used to doing a thing, we forgot why we're doing it. And we're not a social club. No, we're not a social club. Although we like good fellowship, we like to have fun, and we like to eat and all of that, that's good. But that's not why we're here. And so we try to remind the congregation, those of us that are members, and we try to let others know who are seeking. Because I don't know about you, but as I get older, I don't have a whole lot of time to waste. And you see death around everywhere, and we don't want to waste your time. And there are a lot of things we can be involved in. You know, there are clubs. The Super Bowl is going on today. Some folks not thinking by God today at all. Amen. And got everything on their mind but worshiping God and serving God. So why in the world will we take our time and our schedule to worship this morning when we can be cooking our Super Bowl meal? Why are we taking out our time and we could be enjoying outside fishing? Well, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. The lessons we've given, I don't have time to review them all. The lessons we've given throughout the weeks according to the scriptures to lay the foundation. To lay the foundation, the standard, because all of us, we are following something or somebody. And if we're not following something or somebody, we're following ourselves. And I don't know about you, but I don't have a lot of confidence in my little pea brain. And so we established the fact that the scriptures that have been passed down through the ages are worthy to be studied and worthy to be emulated and worthy to be followed. The evidence, the manuscript evidence, the prophetic utterances, the fulfilled prophecies, the archaeological evidence, the cohesiveness of the entire message from beginning to end, nothing else matches it. And that's what we focused on in that lesson. The second lesson was God alone, God alone. And there was some purpose in the way we delivered it, in the order that we delivered it. The scriptures are our foundation. God is the orchestrator, the architect, is his plan and his plan alone. And last week, all authority focusing on Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who God sent to the world to carry out his plan. You see the progression, the scriptures, God the Father, God alone. All authority, that's what Jesus says. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. So there's no doubt in who we ought to be following. So he gives the authority to Jesus. And today's lesson is entitled, Holy Spirit, Dwell in Me. Holy Spirit, Dwell in Me. Dwell in Me. So hopefully you're settled. You got your coffee. You got both eyes open. Whether you're in bed, and I mean, you know, maybe you can lay down and worship God. I don't know. It'd be good if you kind of sit up a little bit. Put your pillow on the back of you. You know. Yeah. Come on out the kitchen. All right. You got your coffee. I got your orange juice. So you, or like Brother Ray, you got some kind of green juice. I don't know. Whatever you got, but get settled. Let's worship God this morning. Holy Spirit, dwell in me. The Holy Spirit, absolutely necessary, essential. That's a misconception about the Holy Spirit. A lot of mystery seems to be, or speculation that we labor at. So I want to give a scriptural definition of the Holy Spirit. It is. Now, I have some bullet points. I jotted down so I can kind of keep this in order. It is a priceless gift. The Holy Spirit is a priceless gift. And it is for God's children only. So don't miss this part. That's why we extend the invitation after this. At the end, we extend an invitation because sometimes you get a better understanding. You say, okay, now I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. Now I know what I need to do. And this, the Holy Spirit, it's absolutely necessary for our lives. It's a gift. Listen to Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Only after baptism is the gift of the Holy Spirit given. Now, I hope you heard that, because there are some who would teach that baptism is not essential. It is not absolutely necessary. I don't want to debate with anybody, but you need to follow the word, and you need to put your faith in God and his word and him alone. Some will give you different answers for it, but according to the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is given by God only after baptism. Give you some homework. Go to Acts chapter 19. This is not in my lesson. Acts chapter 19, and read about some brothers who had been baptized, but they hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit. And when they heard about the Holy Spirit, they were rebaptized. Some people ask you, if I'm a member of the Church of Christ, I already was baptized. Do I need to get rebaptized? Well, first of all, we need to be taught right to be baptized right. That's why these men were rebaptized, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's your homework, Acts chapter 19, if you will. Now listen to Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Galatians 4, 6. Because you are sons, God has sent, and in the translations, and this is the New Testament, primarily written originally in Greek, it capitalizes spirit, differentiating. It's not talking about, you know, we all have a spirit in us, but naturally we have a spirit in us, but we're talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Because you are sons, the Holy Spirit is a gift given by God to his children alone who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and been baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Go to Galatians chapter 1 and 2 and 3. You can see that it was written to the church of God. The church of God are those who've been baptized into Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is more than a force. It's more than a manifestation. The Holy Spirit has a divine mean not of this world, not of this earth, divine meaning heavenly. The Holy Spirit has a heavenly responsibility and a heavenly nature. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, 1 John chapter 5. Now, this is a lesson you can't be drifting off. Now, don't drift off. write notes. If you want my notes, I'm going to try to, after this series, to make all these notes available. Because I want you to have these scriptures. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record. That's what the scripture says. There are three that bear record. The word bear record, it means that there are three that witness. There are three that observe. There are three that record. That's what that meaning is. There are three that in heaven. Now, these three are in heaven, so there's no man, no council, no organization, no elders on the earth. There's no book. Nobody's keeping record of what we do every day. But there are three that do, and they are in heaven. Now, I told you that was a reason why I did these lessons in this order. You have the scriptures. You have God alone. You have Jesus. Now, Jesus is not here physically today. The scripture says he's gone. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven right now. And so you got God. You got Jesus. Listen, there's three that bear record. He says, who are the three, Gary? The Father. That's God. That's God alone. The Word. What's the Word? The Word is Jesus. In John 14, 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Now, that's Jesus. In verse John chapter 1, verse 14, it goes, and the Word became flesh, that's Jesus, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as the only begotten of the Father. Talking about Jesus. So the Father, these are bearing record. The Word, and then it says, and the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That's why I said the Holy Spirit is absolutely essential. It's necessary. Because as we live our lives, God is watching. Jesus is watching. The Holy Spirit is watching. They are bearing record. They're not missing nothing. You know, we can hide stuff from the Lord. We think we can hide stuff from God. You can hide stuff from people. We can hide stuff from the church. We can hide stuff from our boss. We can hide stuff from our wife, my husband, from our mom, from our dad. But we can't hide nothing from God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is good. The Spirit sees everything we do. Since we're focusing on the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit will never lie or deceive. See, it was the Holy Spirit that was responsible for the written word. See, God is awesome. He's the orchestrator, and this is just the way that he planned it. Each one of them have a role. God, the orchestrator, that's his role, the Father. Jesus, the creator, he's the implementer. He's the one who implemented, he carried out all the rules. And the Spirit, that's what we're talking about today, the Spirit's role. Listen to part of the Spirit's role in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, 2 Peter 1, 20. But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of the Scriptures becomes a matter of someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. You see, all of it right there. You have God who's given the word. You have the Holy Spirit who's given it to men, to human beings to write. The Holy Spirit. Yes. Spirit does nothing of its own accord, always under the direction of God the Father. Their roles are followed to a T. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God. And so God gives the word to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives it to men. And so a person's understanding of the Holy Spirit is vital and essential to obtaining salvation. It's essential. Jesus had the Spirit when he was on earth. Jesus had the Spirit when he was on earth. Listen to John chapter 3, verse 34. John 3, 34. For he whom God sent, had sent, speaketh the words of God. Jesus didn't even speak his own words. For God giveth not the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by measure unto him. What does that mean? See, when God sent Jesus to the earth, Jesus spoke the words that God gave him. And God gave Jesus also, the scriptures is, the Spirit, capital S, it says, he says he gave it not by measure. The word measure would mean not by limitation. See, God gave Jesus an extra measure of the Holy Spirit, not by limitation. Well, so there are different measures of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There are different measures. The apostles had a measure of the Holy Spirit. The apostles, when the apostles were Jesus. Listen to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation after it was first spoken through the law? This is how the word was delivered to us. Jesus came. He spoke the word. It was confirmed to us by those who heard. Now, this is the giving of the word. It said it was confirmed to us by those who heard. Those who heard would be the apostles. The apostles were with Jesus. Jesus gave the word. They gave the word to the apostles. The apostles gave the word to us. God also testifying. How you know it's the apostles? God also testifying with them by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. God gave an extra measure of the Holy Spirit to the apostles, and they were able to perform signs and wonders and miracles to confirm the word. So, are there men and women who can perform miracles today? Not like the apostles. I know there's some who claim they do. We teaching right now. I'm not talking about any. What you mean? I know this brother, he can do. He can't do what the apostles did. No, come on, you just be for real. Come on now. Now, I tell you what, if he can, take him down to the medical center here in Houston. Let them lay hands on folks and heal people they don't know and get them up out the bed and have them to walk. Let them take a blind man and heal a blind man, a blind woman. Come on now, if we want to be free, if we want to be honest, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. It has in the Bible that they did that. The apostles had an extra measure of the Holy. Listen to Mark chapter 13, verse 11. Mark 13, 11. And when they arrest you, this is how I know it's different. He says, and when they arrest you, Jesus is giving instructions to the apostles. He says, when they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand what you ought to say, but whatever is given you at the time. He says, but say whatever is given you at the time, for you are not the one speaking, but it is the Holy Spirit. He told the apostles, he says, don't even study. Don't predetermine what you're going to say, because what you're going to be given to say when you go stand before for the Sanhedrin and when you stand before the officials, what's going to be given to you is going to be given by the Holy Spirit. I don't want you to study. Now, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and all this information I'm giving to you, I promise you that I wasn't waiting on the Lord to give me this message. Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he says, Timothy, you study to show yourself approved unto God. If some of these priests say, well, I got a message from the Lord last night. Well, if you got it last night, that's too little bit. I don't want to hear that message you got last night. I want to hear the message that you studied for. Amen, somebody. And so the apostles, when they stood before, God gave them the words to say. How did they do it? It was through the Holy Spirit, and he gave them an extra measure to do that during that time, because they didn't have the completed word of God like we have today. What do you mean, Brother Gary? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse. I keep giving you these scriptures. It's a reason. Love never fails. That's what the scripture says. But if there are gifts of prophecy, listen, see, in the first century, they didn't have the completed word of God like we have it today. He says, if there were gifts, and a gift is something that's given to you by somebody else. We already told you that God gave the gift of the Holy Spirit is from God. There were gifts of prophecy. God gave them the gift to be able to foretell what he told them to tell. He says whether there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done. There's going to come a time when nobody's not going to be able to prophesy like they prophesied in the old times. He says whether there are tongues, they will cease. And you know, in the New Testament, there were many who spoke in various tongues on the day of Pentecost. The people heard the apostles speak in their own language. But I promise you, tongues is not mumbo jumbo. Assalamu alaikum. Excuse me, that's a language. But it's not mumbo jumbo. It's not babbling. Tongues are what languages. And God gave them the ability to speak in a language that people could understand. He says it was a gift of tongues. He says, but there's going to come a time, but Gary, so you're saying that people are not speaking in tongues today? There's going to come a time when the scripture says they will cease. And I don't tell people what they're saying and what they're hearing, but if I can't understand it, if nobody can understand what the person is saying, who is it doing any good? I come up here saying that I got the gifts of tongues and I'm speaking in tongues and everybody's listening, nobody's getting an understanding. That's not doing anybody any good. And then he goes on to say, if there is knowledge, it will be done. It will be done. It's not talking about studying knowledge. It's talking about super. If there's the gift of supernatural knowledge like he gave to the apostles, you don't have to study. The Holy Spirit gives you that knowledge. He said, if there is knowledge, it will be done away. There's going to come a time when that type of teaching will not take place any longer. That's why Jesus, when he left this earth, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. If you're going to be saved, you're going to have to sit down. You're going to have to, what we're doing right now, we're going to have to worship. We're going to have to listen to the preach word. We're going to have to listen to the taught word. And we're going to have to determine whether or not the word we are hearing is it true or is it false? I just got to ask you a question. Does this sound like the truth to you? I'm not trying to snow anybody. And that's why I say this is foundational. It is essential. This is what differentiates the church of God, the church of Christ, from other churches. Not that we're any better than anybody. Certainly not that we're any perfect. We're perfect, but we try to distinguish ourselves by teaching the word of God. Jesus, when he was on this earth, he said, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. So be careful what we hear and careful what we did. No, every church is not the same. Not that we certainly don't think we're in this, but every sermon is not the same. Amen, somebody. Well, yeah, you think you so? I don't think I'm nothing. I don't think I'm absolutely nothing. That's why I keep throwing these scriptures to you. Because I want you to follow the word of God. He said, now, let me finish that passage, 1 Corinthians 13:8. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But then the scripture says, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. He said, Paul was writing to the church of Corinth, and they had many of these gifts. He said, and he told them, he said, listen, all this stuff is not forever. All these gifts that you'll get, these supernatural gifts, he says, when the perfect, and now today in the 21st century, we have the complete word of God. In Romans 10:17, so faith, our belief comes by hearing, the scripture says, and hearing by the word of God. Don't be sitting on the side of your bed waiting on a revelation for God. I want God to speak to you. You better open that word up. Or you better sit at the feet of that word and take that word in, and you determine whether somebody is teaching you truth or they are not. Lord, I love this word of God. Listen to Mark 16:20. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord, we're just talking to the apostles, talking about the apostles, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that followed. That's why God gave them this extra measure of the Holy Spirit. He gave them these gifts because what he was trying to do is to show them, he was just confirming what the word was saying. And so, Brother Gary, okay, what role does the Holy Spirit play today with Christians? I'm glad you asked that question, because This we definitely want to know. We're in the 21st century. Well, I could give you some adjectives. The Holy Spirit is, you want to make the Holy Spirit your best friend. The Holy Spirit is an advocate. You know, in an advocate, it speaks on our behalf. Oh, that's the scripture that Brother Harvey read. We're going to read it in just a few minutes ago out of Romans chapter 8. The Holy Spirit is an intercessor. All of these are great. The Holy Spirit is a counselor. That's why it's absolutely necessary. I don't want to prophesy. I want to may say with the scriptures, but you won't make it to heaven without the Holy Spirit. You won't make it to heaven without the Holy Spirit. According to the scriptures, I'll confirm that in just a second. Listen to John chapter 14, verse 16, 14, 16. Listen to this. This is Jesus. It's serious time. He's looking at the cross. The cross is before him. He's trying to give his apostles some extra confidence that he's leaving, and they're going to need something. He says, I will ask the Father, in the context of what this passage is. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Underline helper. Underline it. In the translations, it probably has it capitalized, helper, because he's referring to the Holy Spirit. You notice that the words in translation, they capitalize, and when it's talking about Jesus, the Savior, when it's talking about God, and when it's talking about the Holy Spirit, he says, so that he may be with you forever. That's what he told the apostles. He says, I'm going to ask the Father, the orchestrator, he's the planner, and the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit is a gift from who? It's a gift from who? Type it in on Facebook. It's a gift from God and God alone. He says, I will ask the Father. Now, Jesus couldn't even give the Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness. Lord have mercy. I'm learning something. He says, and he will give you another helper. That wasn't Jesus' role to give the Holy Spirit. So that he may be with you forever. Then he goes on to say, verse 17, the helper is the Spirit of truth. Whom the world cannot receive. Remember, the Holy Spirit is for God's children alone. And some people misunderstand the Holy Spirit. Some people think we crazy. Y'all got that spirit. Y'all got that fanatics. Well, I don't know what you want to call us. Some people think the Spirit make you wilder and cut up and run all of them around the church. Well, I don't know if that's the Holy Spirit or not. But the Spirit is a helper. The world can't receive because it does not see him or know him. So don't get disillusioned when people don't understand what's going on. But you know him because he remains with you and will be in you. See, so the title of this lesson is Holy Spirit Dwell in Me. And this is what he told apostles. He says, now, I'm not going to be here, but my spirit is going to be with you. It's going to be with you forever. And you know me, don't deny it. The spirit is going to be in you. It's going to be with you. To Christians today, he's in 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship. You see all three here? The grace of my Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. He's writing this to the church. He knows he's not there physically. He says, this is what I'm with you. God with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. While they bear record in heaven, they are with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. And if we are, the Holy Spirit is always for our good. You see, what if you had, if you got some good friends who cut for you when nobody else cut for you, you better be thanking the Lord. If they that kind of friend, you know, through good and bad, they're always looking out for your well-being, that's a good friend. The Holy Spirit is always for our good. See, always. See, when you have the Holy Spirit, you always have somebody on your side pulling for you. All times. I don't care what we do. The Holy Spirit. Now listen to the verse that Brother Harvey read for you and you hear it. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, beginning to verse 26. Now in the same way, this is written to Christians. Now in the same way, the Spirit, the capital Spirit, also helps our weakness. See, the Holy Spirit, question. You ask a question. Wake up. He's going to ask a question. Do you have a weakness? I know the answer to that one. I know the answer to that one. You see, you got to hear this. See, this is why you need to understand about the Holy Spirit. So you got a weakness. Other people might know your weakness. Other people might not know your weakness. The Holy Spirit knows what your weakness is. And so we all have a weakness. That's why I say you can't get to heaven without the Holy Spirit, because we need some help with our weaknesses. What's your weakness? Some of us that's older now, we don't have the same weakness that we had when we were younger. So don't talk about nobody. Oh, these young children today, oh, they just doing all kind of, oh, Lord, what the world coming to. Oh, you used to be just like them. Oh, man. Some old people act like they have never partied. You see, some old people go, oh, they be dancing. Some of the old members of the church, yeah, they be dancing. And they used to party harder, some of these young folk. All the dancing they had. I never did the Watusi. That's some of the youngsters don't know nothing about the Watusi. So, I'm just saying, we all got weaknesses, don't we? Oh, Lord, just admit it. And some of us trying to live life without some help. And the Spirit also helps our weakness. He says, for we know not what to pray for as we should. It's like, you know, some of us pray, but we even try to camouflage our prayers. You know, like God don't know. Like God don't know our weakness. You know, we pray for what you need to be praying for. Is your weakness. Amen, somebody. I don't want to put nobody on blast. I don't want to put you on blast, but I'm just speaking frankly. See, when you're a young person, when you're younger, you know, and you there are a lot of temptations. There's a lot of temptations when you're old. I used to think they go away as you get older. I'm getting older. Some of them still there. But you know, there's so much immorality in the world today. So much enticing, you know. You know, I mean, you know, all the things. They're enticing drugs. And, you know, they got drugs that they don't make you too drunk. But they do something to you, though. You know, they make you feel different, you know. And the Bible says be sober. In 1 Peter chapter 5, it says be sober. That means you don't need nothing messing with your mind. It says be vigilant. Because our adversary, we have an adversary. We got our adversary, the devil, he walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Woo, does anybody need some help with that one? You know, everything you turn on, you turn on these devices, and they just, I look at my Facebook page. Hey, I don't know how they do this. You just trying to go through reading messages, and they'll pop something in there. Just a half-naked woman. I'm like, where did this come from? And you try to scroll, and you scroll, and it stop on another one. I'm just saying. You got to be strong to keep moving and to keep not being. Anybody got some weaknesses? Who gonna help us with these weaknesses? Who? For the Christian, the Holy Spirit. See, he says, you don't even know, you don't know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us. The scripture says with groanings, too deep for words. It's like the Holy Spirit, it knows our weakness. And we trying to talk to God and the Holy Spirit intercedes. Say, Lord, I know he didn't say what he should have said. She didn't say, well, but you know him, you know her. Now, this is only to the Christian. It's only to the person who submitted to the gospel of Jesus Christ, been baptized in water, and says, I want to be with God. And says, you know he's weak. You know she didn't say it, but you know she needs you, Lord. And then it says, this is how the Lord reacts in verse 27. And he who searches the hearts, that's God, because God knows our heart, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. See, God knows the Spirit is for our good. God knows the Spirit is on our side. God knows the Spirit is trying to help us. Because he intercedes for the saints. That's why if you're watching right now and you are not a Christian, you need to hurry up and get the Spirit on your side. You won't make it to heaven. See, you won't make it to heaven without, it says, according to the will. Now, notice this. Now, the Spirit is our helper. The Spirit is our intercessor. The Spirit speaks on our behalf, but we can't fool God. It says, according to his will, because God knows the, see, God knows when we play, because sometimes some of us are so smart, we can play games on the, try to play games on the Spirit and on God. Oh, yeah, I'm going to let the Spirit, I do have this weakness, but I'm going to let the Spirit handle this one, because Lord knows I ain't finna stop. Ooh, sister, brother, come on now. No, God knows when we're playing games. And God does not make us do nothing that we don't want to do. God's not going to force us. We are free will beings, but the Spirit knows, God knows our heart, and the Spirit is trying to nudge us and help us along the way. But the Spirit is always for, and if we are humble enough to pray, the Holy Spirit can help us. Holy Spirit can help us. That's why this is just a lifelong battle we in. You can be doing good. You're doing good today. You're serving the Lord, reading your Bible, worship the Lord today, and the devil can mess up the whole day. You can leave out here, oh, Brookie, woo, Lord, I praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is in me today, and you walk out these doors. Romans 8, verse 14, I'm going to bring this down. For all who are being, listen to this, this is our part. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. See, we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. And when you're a Christian, you know when the Spirit is nudging you. You know when the Spirit is, when the Spirit is trying to nudge us, because it's like, you know, the commercial you see, they got these, the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other shoulder, and the devil is in your ear, say, you're going to do it. Yeah, you know you want to do it. Go take it. Don't worry about it. And the angel is saying, come on now. Come on now. Come on. Don't listen to that. You know what's right. You got a wife at home. You got children at home. Don't go in there. You know what's in there. Because the Holy Spirit, believe it or not, has emotions. See, the Holy Spirit is just as real. You gotta don't let me lose you right now. Now the Holy Spirit. What do you mean, Brother Gary? See, you know, did you not know the Scripture say we can grieve the Holy Spirit? We can make the Holy Spirit sad. Now we can make we certainly can displease God. Jesus is watching that three that's bearing record. The Holy Spirit is on our side, is always for our good. Listen to the Scriptures in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4, 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you were sealed for the day of redemption. I'm echoing this over and over again because I'm hoping that it sticks. It's essential. You know, you won't get the help. You won't get your redemption without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's seal. He gives it to us upon baptism. That, he says, In Acts 2, verse 38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's our sin. God, that's how when we are at Judgment Day, that it's come. God, you know, God knows all things. He knows who's his and who's not. But if you don't, the Holy Spirit is our seal. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit, when we keep rejecting, we just keep on, Holy Spirit is nudging us and trying to help us to do right, is praying for us. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we just keep on lying, you know. We just lie, just one lie after another, just lie. Just lie about, don't ever, I had the task the other day, Lord have mercy, one of my grandbabies, they got into my shaving cream. I came in the bathroom, shaving cream all on the floor. And I guess they just mesmerized with the shaving cream. And I had seen a little bit before, little spots of it before. And I'm like, where did this shaving cream come from? And I came in, it was all on the floor. And I said, I got to address this. I said, who been in Big Daddy's shaving cream? Two or three of them. They went in the room. Big Daddy, and you know, you can tell when a child lies. As soon as I said, not mean. They don't think you've ever been living before. And then one of my grandchildren upstairs, she said, I know who took it, who did it. And she told it on one of the other grandchildren. And I didn't do that. And I said, stop. Right there, come here. I said, I'm going to ask you one time, right there, right in my face. I said, I'm going to ask you one time, and I want you to tell me the truth. I said, I want the truth. That's what we deal with. I don't. Oh, and you know what happened then. You know what happened then. I say, look at me. She looking at me. All of a sudden, tears start flowing down the eyes. And I said, just tell Big Daddy the truth. I said, I'm not going to break you down. I said, but if you don't tell me the truth, Big Daddy going to break you down. And she told me, I said, did you? And she said, I did. And we had a breakthrough moment. Why you charge up? I say, because I don't want her to keep lying. You know what? I'm not gonna tell you what my grandmother said. Well, I guess I should tell you. You already know. So if you lie, you will steal. If you steal, you will kill. Can't keep grieving the Holy Spirit. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we don't, the life of sin, repetitious sin, over and over, evil grieves the Holy Spirit. Malice is, the word malicious comes from malice, planned evil. Pre-thought, premeditated. Oh yeah, I'm gonna get her. He ain't getting away with that. I got something for it. Come on, that's not God's children. Christians can be in sin and still have the Holy Spirit. But be careful. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. And the Holy Spirit can be put on silence. You know how we put mute on our phone? The Holy Spirit can be put on mute. The scripture would say in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, you men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You're doing just as your fathers did. Don't put the Holy Spirit on mute. And And whatever you do, see, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19, do not quench, do not extinguish, do not put out the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is for our good. You know how some friends come to you and say, man, look, I just got to tell you the truth. I got to tell you the truth, man. Look, you know, we've been bored. And they say, man, you're not treating your wife right. And he telling you the truth. Baby, sweetheart, what would you do? Your husband got to go to, that man go to work for you? Well, what are you doing? Oh, girl, I'm just having a little fun. Right? Girl, you need to stop. And, you know, and then we turn on our friend. Look, I don't need you in my business. Get out of my business. That's the kind of friend you need. And sometimes they get out your business. And I'm going to leave you with this one. Never, never blaspheme the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? The word blaspheme, it's the word that means to speak evil against. It means to vilify. See, I know you might not totally understand how the Holy Spirit, if you don't understand it, say, you know what, I don't really understand it, but don't act like the Holy Spirit don't exist. Don't speak evil. Don't speak evil against the Holy Spirit. Don't vilify the Holy Spirit. Because let me read this passage in Matthew chapter 12. I didn't want to end on a negative note, but I got to read this Matthew chapter because you will see, you won't make it to heaven without the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Therefore, I say unto you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven people. Guess who's talking? This is Jesus talking. Now, you can speak evil against President Bush if you do it on silent. Who's President? President Biden. You can do that with your friends or whatever. That's your business. You can speak evil against your mama or your daddy, but the Bible says you shouldn't do that. You should honor your father and your mother. But you can be forgiven. He says, people, but blasphemy against the Spirit shall not be forgiven. Now, some people have wrestled with this. Well, does it really mean that? Now, what does it mean? What does that mean to you when it says not be? You're not talking about not be forgiven by the elders in the church, not be forgiven by your mom or your daddy. It says, and whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, that's Jesus, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the, it says it twice, whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, either in this age or. So if you don't understand the Holy Spirit, say, I don't understand it. I don't really know what the Holy Spirit is all about. I don't know about it. You say that, but don't you say, I don't care nothing about the Holy Spirit. Don't say that. Second Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands having this seal. You remember what the seal is? The Holy Spirit. The Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is to keep away from wickedness. We sing a song, Holy Spirit, dwell in me, touch my eyes that I might see all your goodness, grace, and power. Stay beside me every hour, be my drink. Be my living bread. Keep me sheltered. Keep me fed. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Dwell in me. If you're here today, you're not a child of God, you need to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And when you're baptized, God gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit, a precious gift that only God can give. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're willing to repent of all your sins, to confess his name and be baptized in water, God adds you to his body. Next Lord's Day, the final lesson of this series is the church is essential. We're going to talk about that. The church is essential. When you're baptized, God adds you to the church. You need to come. If you have a prayer request, we'll pray for you. If you want to get something right, we'll pray for you. Our elder will pray at the end of the service. Come to Jesus right now as we sing a song of invitation.
He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. And you know that story. clouds may rise, and you know that strong winds may blow.